them try clip we wings, some of we can't fly out. But when we there, yeah, nothing nice like Jamaica, roast breadfruit and banana. Under the tree with a glass of lemonade, jumping at the river when me ready for bed. No boy can't buy me out, me no foreign minded, no way compared to Jamaica.
From the sun-kissed shores of beautiful Jamaica, you have just tuned into The Advocate, live on oneradio.link. I am your host, Andrea D. White, and it's Sunday, April the 8th. The numbers to call are 343-4913, or if you're calling from overseas, you may call us on 239-444-8161. Listeners, it's carnival. Carnival in the streets, bacchanal. Road march is going on. It's a time carnival for me, and I'm not against people celebrating and enjoying themselves. I think everyone has that right. But in a lot of way, carnival for me shows up the social disparity in Jamaica. So you know, as long as you're high skin and you can wind up and go on the most way because you're from uptown and what, it's soak and it's carnival. But if you do the same thing downtown in the dance hall, you're vulgar and you're hype and you don't have any class. But to each his own. I went to a road march once, only once. It was beautiful. The costumes are beautiful and people are having fun and everybody, it's just one happy family. And as I said, to each his own, certainly it's something I would go again and see. I have nothing against it. I will just show you, though, that Jamaica is such a study in contradiction, because while some Jamaicans are out reveling and making merry, others were in church celebrating the holiest season for Christians, which is Easter. Easter for Christians are those who believe in the resurrection, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is a time of atonement, a time to quietly reflect. It's a time to be as conservative as possible. It's a time for you to give up something because Christ gave his life so that you can live. So while some people will be in church celebrating, others will be out, will be in church, sorry, you know, well, giving thanks to God, others will be on the street celebrating. And to my mind, there is nothing wrong with it, to each his own. Now, listeners, it has been a minute since we have spoken, right? 2 weeks, we had the Easter holidays. And since then, we have a new cabinet, Winnie Mandela, the iconic Winnie Mandela, has died at age 81. Zuma, former president of South Africa, has been charged with 16 counts of corruption. Lula, Brazilian, very popular, even now popular president of Brazil, former president, is in jail as we speak. He was given, I think, 12 years of corruption. So a lot of things have transpired, of course, such is life. I want to talk, listeners, I want to discuss the new cabinet. I want to talk about Winnie Mandela. We have to have a discussion about Cornwall Regional Hospital. And of course, I want to talk about the Gleaner headline, Hit on Bobby. But I want to frame it in a different light. But so before, I just want to talk a little about Winnie Mandela. Winnie Mandela, in my mind, was a giant in her own right. Forget that she was the former wife of the Nelson Mandela. I don't even need to say anything but use the. Forget about that. This is a woman who suffered, who was brutalized, who was demonized because she wanted black South Africans to have the same rights as white South Africans. She was up. She was one of the key architects, to my mind, of the demise of apartheid in South Africa. In some way, she was controversial, but you don't get, you don't, she was in a war, to my mind. She was in a war, and sometimes there are casualties. She was seen as the mother of South Africa in a lot of quarters, a strong woman, a complex woman, as some people would say, controversial. But that in no way diminishes Winnie Mandela and the sacrifices that she made so that South Africans and a lot of black people and nations around the world can now celebrate with South Africa the fall of the evil, evil that was apartheid. My condolences to her family and to the people of South Africa. Rest well now, Winnie. Rest well. So we have a new cabinet. And I was a little surprised, but I think in my mind, having looked at it, listeners, and considered all the players, I think the Prime Minister was had to be mindful of the political implications whilst trying to position to match ability and talent with key positions, in my mind. I am going to say, on which I've said this before, that there are people, and I'm speaking specifically now about the Jamaica Labour Party, there are people in the Jamaica Labour Party who need to know when to fold and when to walk away. There are people in the Jamaica Labour Party who, to my mind, their best, they and I mean no disrespect, they have given a lot to Jamaica, but I think that now, not think, I know that now is the time for you to try and serve in a different way, in another capacity. And I'm talking about several persons like Mike Henry, Carl Samuda, Bobsie Grange. I would go as far as to say, Colonel Charles Sr., J.C. Hutchison. These gentlemen and lady have given a lot to the body politic. And I'm sure there's some whose name escapes me right now, right? But it is time to say, I played an inning, some not very well. And it's time for me to go. You can serve Jamaica and the Jamaica Labour Party in a different capacity. Are you mentoring new leaders? You can help with organization, with training. But I think that it is time for you to free up the Prime Minister. And say, Prime Minister, I want to thank you for serving, Oh, and Roddy Spencer is another one that needs to go. I was very critical of his vulgar utterances that he made, which I think do not advance the kind of politics that we want in Jamaica and can further lead to apathy, voter apathy. But I do accept his apology. I listened to it. I think it came from a place of sincerity, as he said on another at another media house, that it is a learning moment for him, and a lot of us don't learn. So it is a moment for him to learn and grow, and you're never too old to learn and grow. So I accept your apology and we keep it moving. But I still do think, though, Minister Spencer, with all due respect, that it is now time for you to hand over the baton to someone else. Now, listeners, let me go back to the cabinet. For me, the most obvious choice for me, and brilliant for me, is moving Audley Manayard Shaw, from finance to the Super Ministry of Commerce, Industry, Agriculture and Fisheries. Audley Shaw understands what needs, what are the things that need to be laid, or the foundations that need to be laid for us to have a vibrant business environment, so that agricultural environment, certainly, so that we can grow the economy. And when I'm talking about growth, listeners, I'm talking about sustained and sustainable economic growth and development of 5, 6, 7%. Because if we don't hit those numbers, listeners, we will never see any progress and we'll never see any prosperity. Remember me tell you. Jamaica's previous economic policies of borrowing, and not focusing on growth, right, has led us down a path that would have been more destructive than it is now. The PNP, for the last 4 years, did a lot of heavy lifting to put the economy on a firm footing. And for that, I applaud them. But it is also poetic justice, listeners, because they're the ones, remember their former finance minister, Omar Davis, with the run with it kind of economic policy that focused on high borrowing at high interest rates and not putting in, not shoring up our infrastructure and making sure that preventative maintenance of our roads and our hospitals, see Cornwall Regional come back to haunt us now. Right? But guess what? Built by labor and it will be fixed by labor. Right? Now, back to what I was saying. Audley Shaw, to my mind, is a stroke of genius in the Super Ministry of Commerce, Industry, Agriculture and Fisheries. I see him making pronouncements about freeing up government lands to ensure that the agro-processing gets really going, with a heavy emphasis on export. But I want you to go further, Mr. Shaw, Minister Shaw, and I want you to, in a real way, look at how, because the development Exim Bank is under your portfolio. It was taken out of the Ministry of Finance. Audley understands that for any business, especially small businesses in Jamaica, to grow and to prosper, right, we have to have access to loans that at very competitive interest rates, and I'm talking about 3, 2, 3, 4, not more than 5% interest rates. There has to be a pool where it don't take you 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year to get the access the loan, short turnaround loan processing time, a week, 2 weeks maximum, right? Short. And interest rates, as I said, not above 5% to drive economic growth. We have to make it less bureaucratic to actually not only start a business in Jamaica, but to manage a business just the day to day. So I am one of those that salute and applaud Audley Shaw being put in that super ministry. And the economic growth, honestly, it is now on your shoulders, Minister Shaw. Now go out and grow the economy, because, as I said, no progress, no prosperity if we're not hitting 5, 6, 7% economic growth. Minister of Finance, Dr. Nigel Clark, to my mind, was a no-brainer. Very technical for that ministry. He's supported by Favour Williams, who was promoted because she's now a full minister. I don't know Mrs. Williams, but I have observed her. I've seen her work. She's a very bright, very bright, what, Harvard educated, very bright. It is hoped Ministers Williams and Dr. Clark, that while we are trying to hit the fiscal numbers and to bring our and to bring our deficit down and to make sure we have balanced budgets and getting all of the fiscal side of it, that we don't forget the heart. That at the end of the day, we don't forget the Jamaicans who have sacrificed for years. My generation don't know what it is to live in a country where we're not poor and where we're not struggle and where you're not for hustle. We don't know, listeners. And we're tired of this kind of existence. And yes, we see the green shoots, no pun intended, the green shoots of economic growth. We want it to now bloom into a full-grown tree. That's what we want. So ministers, do what you must, but at the same time, remember that the policies, they impact the average Jamaican. And while there are times that there are going to be teething pains and there are going to be difficult decisions, and we want you to make the hard decisions so that down the road we can all prosper, right? Still try and make it, try and see if you can have a cushion, if at all possible. Montague was moved to the Ministry of Transport and Mining. It is my hope that Minister Montague, from the Ministry of National Security, it is my hope that Minister Montague really looks at public transportation in Jamaica, both the JUTC, but also the route taxis and the robot taxis. We need to bring order. We need to bring order. Excuse me, is someone online? Hello?
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hi, good afternoon. You're listening to The Advocate on OneRadio.link. Is this Horace? Sounds like Horace.
Yes, it is. Yes,
hi,
it is.
Hi, how are you doing, Horace?
I am doing great, you know.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have two little issues to discuss this afternoon. Awesome. The Gleaner report this morning, the Gleaner about former Minister of National Security, the death threat, that alleged death threat.
Yes.
That are against the former Minister of National Security.
Right.
I think, you know, I was angry when the Prime Minister removed him as Minister of National Security, because I think he was getting a grip of what he was doing.
Okay.
And I can see where the criminals, they're angry, they're upset, because the former Minister of National Security, you know, he have dismantled some, not dismantled, disrupted some gangs.
I don't think he did it. I think the Jamaica Constabulary Force, what the minister does is...
Yes, the policies that you said. The policies.
Okay.
Yes, the policies that you said.
Right.
And I can see where people are angry. And mm-hmm. But I hope that the Ministry of National Security ramped up security around him.
Well, the Gleaner report did say that he has increased security, both personal and at his home. And I wouldn't say I was angry with the Prime Minister for moving him, but I was certainly surprised that he was moved. I thought that he was now comfortably in the position as Minister of National Security. Mm-hmm. His five-pillar crime plan is something that I wholeheartedly support.
Yes.
I agree with those policy directives.
Mm-hmm.
Jamaica Eye, which is linking mm-hmm. private cameras to a centralized system, is
yes.
something that was his vision, that was his policy directive. So
mm-hmm.
I am a little surprised that he was moved, but I don't know why Horace Chang was placed there, Horace, because Dr. Chang, rather, because I'm sure I heard... Well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Let us see. But
yes.
I would have preferred to see Montague
mm-hmm.
stay in the Ministry of National Security.
Yes, myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Cornwall Regional
yes.
Hospital.
Yes.
Yes, Cornwall Regional Hospital. You know, Cornwall Regional Hospital was a problem waiting to happen for years.
But there are lots I would say too, there are lots of our infrastructure, our mm-hmm. hospitals and fire stations and police stations that are ticking time bomb because of the last 22 years they weren't maintained. But go ahead.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, I think it was a problem waiting to happen. And Dr. Tufton went into the Ministry of Health. You know the problem that we was having in the Ministry of Health with the former health minister.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Fenton Ferguson and
yeah.
Minister Tufton, you know, he went to the Ministry of Health and he done a lot of work. We can even new name have gone to Dr. Tufton, they call him Mr. Fix-It. Because anywhere you put him, he's capable and competent to do the job. So I don't know what Dr. Tufton, I don't know if you have a laptop beside you where you could look for the recommendation, because I am trying to find out what recommend. I don't know if I'm reading it right. I don't know if you can tell me what recommendation. Because the report
is a suggestion. It's a suggestion. You are free to. I can recommend something, but you are free to take it or not to take it. You are free to take my suggestion on or to not.
Thank you. I think yes, my understanding that recommendation is not an order.
Right, it's not an order, no. But it is hoped that when someone makes a recommendation that you seriously consider it and mm-hmm. then you make a decision based on all the available facts that you have. But at the end of the day, you have to make a decision. And sometimes, you know, Horace,
yes,
they're hard decisions to make, mm-hmm. you know, and you mm-hmm. say, boy, and I think you're talking about either closing it or opening or keeping it open. Listen, if Dr. Tufton had closed it, the narrative would have been, how could you close being the only hospital in the West and there is so much shooting, because we were also in the middle of bloodletting in Montego Bay that has created because of the state of public emergency or enhanced mm-hmm. security measures, mm-hmm. as the former security minister coined it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a narrative that I'm sure would have played. So, you know, sometimes, Horace, you're in a position, you're a manager, mm-hmm. you're a leader, and you have a tough decision to make. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. you have to make a decision based on the available data, but also based on a plan that you have. Because of the decision that you have made. And I think that's what Minister Tufton did.
Yes, I think the opposition, the opposition spokesperson and Elk, he's taking a knee-jerk reaction approach. Because if the minister, as I said, if the minister did close it, you would hear the half of the story.
Exactly. You wouldn't.
Exactly. And the government, as far as I can see, the government, in things like this, the government really sit down. They are taking a holistic approach. They don't just believe in just go ahead and just do things. They have dialogue with people.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean?
Yes, yes, I do.
So when...
Horace, listen. I don't know... I listened mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. both gentlemen, the opposition mm-hmm. spokesperson on mm-hmm. health, mm-hmm. Dr. Fenton, Dr. Dayton Campbell, and the Minister of Health, Dr. Tufton, mm-hmm. and of course, Dr. Campbell, who is a medical mm-hmm. doctor, was at pains to let Jamaicans know that Dr. Tufton is not a medical doctor.
Exactly. What's coming from the opposition? The entire opposition is just platitude.
Let me give Dr. Dayton Campbell some unsolicited advice. When you have an issue, and listen, the issue is worthy of ventilation. There are people mm-hmm, who are mm-hmm. getting sick at the hospital. But mm-hmm. screaming about it, and coming across is like he was salivating at the mouth, right? Foaming, frothing at the mouth. And he at some points he was screaming, or he came across like he was screaming. That's not the kind of leader that I want. I want someone who is measured and thoughtful. You can be passionate, you know. There's nothing wrong with being passionate about a point. But he came across to my mind as just vulgar politicking. That is what it is. So even if he had legitimate concerns and legitimate points, they got lost because I was turned off by his approach. I was just turned off. He's not the person. He's not the messenger. I don't want to hear from you. Let the opposition send someone else.
Jamaica
is tired of the kind of politics where we have to cuss off each other to score political points. No. Dr. Dick Campbell, who likes everyone to know that he's a medical doctor, right? Presumably is an intelligent fellow. And you don't need to scream and shout, right? And to bring across your point. Because what it does is it further makes people feel apathetic towards the whole voting and political process.
I was following Twitter. I was following Twitter this last week, and Angela Bernberg was on a tirade on Twitter saying that all the government ministers and government are lies. They're trying to cover up. Cover up what? There's nothing in there to cover up. Everybody knows that Cornwall Regional Hospital sick. It's a sick building.
I will say this about the opposition. Jamaica deserves a strong, responsible opposition. Because the nature of men, right, Horace, is that if the JLP is not brought into check, you know, we're human beings. And we will make mistakes, and some of us think that we're too big for our breeches. So it is important, and that is why I believe in systems, right? It is important to have checks and balances, which is why we have the media, which is why we have the opposition, right? Her Majesty's opposition. It is important. Now, what and what the PNP needs to do is to go back to the drawing board and realize that Jamaicans have moved on from the kind of politics where we cuss each other and we tear down each other. You see, when I criticize a policy, whether it is a policy by the government, that is the Jamaica Labour Party's Wholeness Administration government, or something put forward by the PNP, I make sure that my criticism is coached in such a way or framed in such a way, Horace, that it is reasonable, that even if I'm trying to gain political mileage out of it, that it is at the end of it, it must benefit the people of Jamaica, and I must have some kind of alternative, some kind of recommendation to offer. What is a recommendation? What is the Dr. Campbell is saying, or the opposition spokesperson on health is saying, right, that we need to lock it down and do what with the people? Carry them in a bedroom?
Send them to his alleged private place in Montego Bay where he practiced medicine.
I'm not wrong if he has a private, a lot of doctors have private, there's more power to him. He's earning some coins,
but that is
you know.
Yes, that is what he did want to happen.
I don't know. Those are allegations. I don't know. Right?
And as I shut down Dr. Angela Bernberg and tell her that it would be better if she could go to the police and help the police to investigate who killed Maxine Simpson, a member of the People's National Party executive in Southwest St. Andrew. But she coming on Twitter and talking about government.
I forgot about that murder. Oh yeah, she was shot. She was shot. Was it at the constituency office? I'm not sure.
Yes,
I forgot about that murder. I've heard nothing about the investigation so far.
Exactly, leading up to the leading up to the race between she and Miss Miss.
Yeah, but I don't want to draw any parallels between that because I don't want it to be thought that we're saying that because of the leadership race, then my understanding, the word on the ground is it has something to do with contracts. These are unsubstantiated reports that it has something to do with government contracts and man not getting paid, and which is another nasty underbelly of the body politic in Jamaica, and we need to change. See them turn over. What the name of the Don Rooksy? Rooksy, they came for him the other day at Spartan. Well, he wasn't so lucky, right? He was found in the trunk of a car that belonged to his. His company that is a construction company that got government contracts in the past. Alleged done for the discipline gang in Rootstown, right?
Yes.
Right. So my whole thing is, you see, about this Cornwall regional thing, Horace, is that to shut it or not to shut it. I support the position of the health minister, where he said, I want to keep it open and gradually shut it down.
Thank you.
Could it have been closed with closer than in 6 months instead of a year? I think so. And I think maybe that's where the minister went wrong. Maybe he should have accelerated closing it down and then fix it section by section by section. But then I don't know if it was because of resource constraints, which is why it wasn't done sooner. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can sit here and make all the pronouncements.
Yes. And but I think don't the, know. Yes, and I think the government must go through all government building and agency and check out if there's asbestos in building and so forth and get it corrected.
Horace, I went the other day, I had a meeting at the Minister of Education. And when I looked at the building, I was appalled.
Yes, I was passing the Ministry of Tourism the other day. And I said, no man, this building need to paint, this building need a facelift.
Yes, they're disgraced. But it shows, listen, if for over 20 years you don't maintain buildings, this is what is going to happen. They're going to fall into disrepair.
Yes. Even if you don't take care of your house, years of this building going to be dilapidated and have no value.
Exactly, but it's right across. It's our courthouses. I see the Chief Justice is saying that the courthouses, some of them need to be torn down and some need to be refurbished. And I absolutely support him.
I agree, especially the ones in St. Anne.
No, well, suppose this is some of the rural area courts. When I go there, I'm ashamed, honestly. Me shame. We have
especially
to do better.
What
I will say, though, Horace, and listeners, to those of you listening, there's hope on the horizon because the government has tabled a 4-year budget. Is it 4 years? Right. Mm-hmm. So you can see what the spending is for the fiscal year 2019, 2020, up to, I think, 2021, 2022. Yes. And next year, they are increasing monies for capital expenditure by 33%.
Wow.
So that, Horace, that money will be going into, I hope it's not into the road network. I mean, yes, I know the roads, chaka-chaka, and a lot of potholes and some of our vehicles can get swallowed up. I'm exaggerating, but
I think,
it feels like
people always complain how big government is, but I think they need a ministry of infrastructure.
No, that's not we have the ministry. No, we have the Ministry of Works. What we need is, you see, Horace, is an audit to be done by each minister. Get the technocrats, because they're there in the ministries, in the respective ministries, to do an audit of all of the physical infrastructure. So you look on, say, the Ministry of National Security, my favorite ministry, and of course, then the Ministry of Justice. So look at the Ministry of National Security. And of course, Horace, if your credit is running out and you want to hang up and listen, it's fine. I don't have a problem. But you look on the Ministry of National Security.
It's frustrating to tell me no.
Oh, sorry. Talk your talk. Anyway.
Anyways, I'll continue to listen to the program, and I'll talk with you next week.
All right. Respect and guidance.
All right. No problem.
All right. Yeah, man. Right. All right, listeners, you're listening to The Advocate on OneRadio.link. And I was making the point to... Hello? Hello? Sorry. Yes, to Horace, our last caller, that for the first time in many moons, years, for the fiscal year 2019-2020, the government will be increasing its capital expenditure by 33%. Now, listeners, this is huge, huge. My hope, though, is that it is not spent on road repairs, or the bulk of it isn't spent on road repairs. And I'm going to tell you why. I know a lot of them are going to cuss me and say, boy, we're fronting and we have to dodge pothole and whatever. But listen to me, listeners. Just hear me out. The Ministry of National Security, every minister needs to do an audit. And as I was saying before, the technocrats are in the respective ministries to do so. Ask for audits so we're talking about the Ministry of National Security. All the police stations in Jamaica, they're going to do an audit to see what it looks like. Can we consolidate one? Do we have two police stations that are too close together? It makes sense to consolidate them and then open one a little farther down or further down the road. How many police stations need to be demolished and start from scratch? How many need to be refurbished? How much is it going to cost? And let us start to do it and give ourselves, like, say, a 5 to 8 year lead. You understand what I'm saying, listeners? To get this done. Same thing for the Ministry of Justice. We look on the courts, especially the courts in the rural areas. Suppose you see them. A lot of times, they pose security risk. Sometimes I'm in the court. I'm not joking. Sometimes I'm in the court. And you have police officers, but they're in plain clothes. And they're sitting at the front, right? On the benches. And the other day, there wasn't a lot of space. So a gentleman, I was sitting in the second bench, and he wasn't in custody, so he was on bail, so he wouldn't have come to court being escorted or anything like that. He was sitting right beside me, and every time the female officer moved, her gun was exposed, every time. So if he was minded, all he had to do was to reach into and I'm not saying that because he's in court and he's here to face a charge that he's a criminal. That's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making, listeners, is that, and she should have known better also, but it was exposed. But it's because of how the courts in a lot of ways are configured. These courts were built before I was born. A lot of them. So they need to be refurbished, or some of them torn down and we start, as I said, from scratch, taking into consideration rainwater harvesting, solar panels to cut down on the electricity, and the use of technology to drive the efficiency in our courts. These are the things that we need to do. Moving over to the Ministry of Education, I see where the education minister has seven schools, I think he has taken off shifts this year, and this must be applauded. But no, and the minister looks like he has a handle on this. So I won't even talk about the Ministry of Education, because he has said how many schools are on the shifts, how long it's going to take to get them off, how many more classroom spaces we need and schools, and how long it's going to take to build them. So he apparently has a handle on that. Let's move over to the Ministry of Health, where Dr. Tufton and his team have some challenges, but I don't think it's beyond them to solve, with Cornwall Regional and with the general state of the of our health system in Jamaica, right? Now, again, listeners, I say, does Dr. Tufton know how many type A down the line hospitals and health centers we have? Does he know? I'm asking. Don't know. Does he know what needs to be done to take the hospitals like the Cornwall Regional and the KPH, the Maypen, the Mandeville, and put it in our health centers? Certainly, I have heard him say that that's the way that he's going. But the point I'm making, listeners, is that we have to fix our infrastructure. And I know I'm veering off topic because I really wanted to talk. But I think the caller and I discussed Cornwall Regional before. In closing, I will say that I see the Gleaner is reporting that there will be Errol Green is moving from KPH to Cornwall Regional, and there will be a change in management. And I do see that the minister has put in a number of initiatives to gradually close Cornwall Regional. And as far as I know, as of Friday, all the patients except patients on dialysis were moved from Cornwall Regional. We wish the minister and his team success, because his success is Jamaica's success. And before I go on to something that I really want to talk about, really dear to my heart, I want to just go over this Montague plot, the plot to kill the former national security minister, who, listeners, to my mind, should not have been moved from the Ministry of National Security, nor do I think his state minister, Senator Pernell Charles Jr., who have been doing wonderful work in the correctional services with our correctional institutions. And I know this because it is something that I have been following and I have some intimate knowledge of. I will say that when I read the Gleaner report, I thought that the Gleaner was irresponsible journalism. And I'm going to tell you why I said that. Having read the report, if the report is true, and if what is said is true, it is not hard to identify who the snitch, the source is, or as in America, as they would say, who the snitch is. It's not hard. If it is that there is an investigation, all you have to do as a responsible a media entity is to say that you have credible information that there is a plot afoot to kill the former Minister of National Security. But don't talk about the sources and talk about how where the gun is coming from, Haiti to here and whatever. You think we don't know? You think those in the intelligence community don't know? They know. So to my mind, the source, potentially, you have put him in danger potentially, and I put it no stronger than that, right? But we have to be careful that we don't sensationalize news, right? I don't know if there's any truth to it. It did give me pause when the source said that he was talking to the alleged plot mastermind, who says that he gets information out of Oxford Road, and everyone knows that Oxford Road is where the Ministry of National Security is. If this is so, this is alarming. If this is so. And that is why, listeners, I'm a fan of intelligence-driven police investigation. I believe that that is where, along with technology, that is where we need to spend our resources in building up the intelligence gathering capacity and investigative capacity, along with technology, of the JCF. Right? I think that if you do that, you will see a much better JCF and better results when it comes to people that we arrest, and ultimately when they go to court, the strength of evidence and the quality of evidence that is presented to us, you know. So that is my take. Now, listeners, I want to read something for you because I'm not going to lie to you. It pained my heart. It said, youth held back by poverty. This is in the Jamaica Today's Gleaner, Sunday Gleaner. Many staying away from school because they can't afford to go. Right? And it says, dozens of children in war-torn, impoverished communities in Maypen, Clarendon, are staying away from school because they cannot afford lunch money and the transportation to attend institutions located far away from their homes. Otis James, head of the James and Friends Education Program, last week argued that this is one of the main causes for the parish's growing poverty and crime rates, and is calling on the relevant authorities to take steps to address the situation. I have a 14-year-old girl in the program who got pregnant, and a lot of people would say she doesn't have any ambition. I don't see it that way. Most of the girls at 13 and 14 years old who get pregnant here end up pregnant because of their ambition, because they want better lives, said James, whose organization helps to send more than 200 impoverished children from communities in Maypen to school each day. The little girl's father, James said, was killed by gunmen. Her mother is nowhere to be found, and she lives with her grandmother, who can barely afford to take care of her. She lives beside three top high schools, but because she doesn't have the average to attend these schools, she has to drive to Kemp's Hill or Thompson Town, where it is like 50 miles per day go and come, he said. So not every day she can go to school, but because she wants to go, a little taxi man down the road used that opportunity to exploit her and take her to school each day and let her find out that she's pregnant for him. He continued, we condemn her, but it was just her trying to reach her goals and a big man messed it up. It is the same thing for the boys as well. They can't afford to go to school, and because of that, they take to the wrong company and get involved in crime. And listeners, you can read the rest of it, but I want to stop here. Because there's just so many social, economic, legal, cultural issues highlighted in this. Right? First of all, I have always said that a lot of our challenges stem from the breakdown in the family and the fact that we don't have our policies don't interlink to make sure that whatever social policies that we have, they work for the average Jamaican. So now you're looking at this 14-year-old, no father, nobody don't know her mother, their father did, our grandmother trying. She lives beside or in close proximity to three prominent high schools. Why is she not going to any of them? Yes, so her average is not what it should be. Isn't it better Minister of Education, Senator Reid, even to have a class then of students who may not fit the profile, the average in terms of the school that they're in, but steps are taken in that particular class to bring them up. Isn't that better than having a child whose parents don't have the money, send them all the way to Thompson Town? You know how far Thompson Town High School is from Maypen? It's far, right? When she could be going to school right there in Maypen, right? Where are the social workers? Now that she's pregnant, have the police been brought in? Because she's 14. So clearly that's statutory rape. She's not at the age of consent. Is the taxi man behind bars? After she has the... Listen, let me tell you something. There's something that grieves me, you know, listeners, because this is something I see time and time and time again. Right? Time and time and time again, we see this. And it is wrong. It is wrong. So now a lot of youths talking about the male now, right? They don't have the family structure to let them know, to let them feel that they matter. So as a young youth, You know, a lot of young men look to other men, you know, look up to them for guidance. And if they can't get a family within their home or feel a part of a unit within the home, then listeners, they're going to go out in the streets and join a gang where they're accepted, the wickeder them they are, right? Kill and collect, smoke and forget. So the more vicious they are, is the more accepted they are, right? So they have found their family. For a young girl, impressionable, 12, 13, 14, 15, who don't have a father figure, right? And one of them nasty man there, from whatever walks of life, whether you be doctor, taxi man, Indian chief, lawyer, whatever, you are still a rapist, a child rapist, right? And because you see the little pickney in need, right? And you have a little $500 or $1,000 can give her, and you take advantage of a situation on evil, right? And this child now, who mother probably frustrated, tell her every day, say she worthless like her papa. Everyone wants to feel wanted and wants to feel like they're loved. And if they don't get it within the home, then they're going to find it somewhere else. And these are children we're talking about. What we need to do as a country is to invest in our people. We have to invest in them. We have to find a way to go into the homes. And these policies have to be specific, and they have to be targeted, and they have to be sustainable. And which is why when you hear about Zozo, I don't hear about the social part. And I keep saying that. We need to get people into these at-risk communities. We need to get social workers, psychiatrists, to reason with them. And this is something in not going to happen overnight, listeners. But we need people, young persons in at-risk communities to understand, to let them to have a sense of self, to have a sense of self-worth, to have a sense of belonging, so that they don't go to this big, great old man to get it or join a gang. That's what we need to do. We owe it to Jamaica, to the next generation. And this disturbs me on so many levels that it is something that I have to follow up on. Right? It cannot be that the taxi man walk away to do it to another person picnic. It cannot be. Right? He must be punished if he hasn't been arrested. Right? Listeners, 56 minutes. 4 minutes away. I have had a very, very interesting conversation. We have had very interesting debate on a number of issues. We spoke about the cabinet reshuffle. We spoke about Cornwall Regional and the ongoing saga, which didn't start, as we know. It didn't start 2 years ago. It is a symptom of, or the result rather, of us not investing in our infrastructure and making and doing preventative maintenance and making sure that our hospitals and our schools, our courts, our police stations are in the best possible conditions that it can be. And I really, listeners, next week want to focus on some social policies that I think can assist in driving down crime, not necessarily in the short term, but in the medium to long term. We have to continue to invest in our young people. I know the Prime Minister has the HOPE program. I think it is a great initiative. And unfortunately, we don't have the money, the resources to spread it the way we want to, so that it captures as many people. And that is why I believe in public-private partnership. I believe that if we go to the private sector and say, this is what we want to do, and this is the result that we hope to get from it, this is what you're going to put in, but this is what you're also going to gain, because at the end of the day, they're business people, right? And they want to make sure that they get a return on their investment, because they have shareholders to answer to. Right? So I think that is where we need to go, listeners. We need to focus on social policies, targeted, specific social policies that can lift Jamaicans out of poverty into prosperity. Seriously. And this is not a soundbite. I want to thank you for tuning in every Sunday to listen to The Advocate on OneRadio.link. Your support means a lot to me. And I want you to do something else for me, listeners. Please, volunteer now. See how you can help in your community, in your neck of the woods, to make it a better place. See if you and some of your community members can go to the local police station and give it a coat of paint. Maybe there's a clinic that it needs a microwave. Maybe you can start an environment club or a community garden, a community park for the children, a community park for the children. But do something. We can't sit down on our hands every day and say, this is all that is wrong with Jamaica. We know that there are lots of things that are right with Jamaica. And I want you to be a part of the solution instead of getting up every day and complaining. Remember, as I always end, personal responsibility, civic duty, civic pride. So listeners, until you hear my voice again, this is your advocate, Andra D. White. One love, Jamaica love. Bless.
When you me ever hungry again, me a walk and look back every kitchen me a serve. Jamaica love, we wanna feel Jamaica love.